The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Has anybody gotten your first Christmas card yet? I've gotten one. I suspect that the ones we receive this year will be like the ones we receive most years. One of our friends, year after year, always sends us a humorous Christmas card. Last year's card featured a picture of Santa and the reindeer taking a post-Christmas dip in the hot tub. And floating in the hot tub is a large black top hat. And Santa asks, "Whose idea was it to invite Frosty?" Their cards always bring a chuckle. I expect the majority of the cards we'll receive this year will be more of the Hallmark variety. Muted colors, silent nights, cattle lowing quietly in the stable, cute little drummer boys, and peaceful wishes for a Merry Christmas. They will be sweet in their familiarity. Our texts today, though, do not make a very good Christmas card. The text from Isaiah is actually quite dramatic as the heavens are torn open and the mountains quake. The text from the Gospel of Mark has been called the Little Apocalypse. There's darkened sun and moon and stars falling from the heavens. It's cosmic chaos, an end of the world as we know it. Not a sweet little Hallmark manger scene. And definitely not Christmas card worthy. Truth be told, I don't get super excited when I have to preach on these apocalyptic texts every year. They're a bit terrifying, especially when they are misused over and over to scare people and control people. Besides, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, and I kind of like the Hallmark card version. So what do these apocalyptic texts have to do with getting ready for Christmas? Most of us have a list of things that we have to do to get ready for Christmas. We put up decorations. We buy and wrap presents. We make Aunt Mildred's chocolate peppermint pudding cake. We attend the school Christmas concert. And we're festive and jolly and generous. Our Christian to-do list, though, from Mark, is just a little bit different. And it only has two items on it. We are told to watch and to keep awake. Early Christians expected Jesus to return at any moment. literally. So they kept watching and waiting. And some of the early Christians were so anxious that they stopped doing everything. They just waited. With 20/20 vision, we know that Jesus didn't immediately return. It's been thousands of years now, and generations of people have watched and waited. Our parents waited. Our grandparents waited. Our great-grandparents waited. Generations of relatives we don't even know have waited. And the urgency, though, to watch and wait seems to almost be gone now. Since we don't know when Jesus is coming, do we really even need to think about it that much? Despite our Advent pleas of come, Lord Jesus, come, can't we assume that this whole concept of waiting and watching is rather obsolete and has nothing to do with us? It seems that what we do these days is more passive waiting. We wait, but we're not really expecting Jesus to come, are we? Passive waiting is really just, you know, waiting. We're not really doing anything when we wait other than maybe becoming impatient. We wait for buses and planes. We wait in the line at the grocery store or on hold for the next operator, which is my favorite kind of waiting. We organize our lives so we don't have to wait. We order takeout so it's ready when we arrive. We shop online instead of fighting mall traffic. We use the DVR so we don't even have to wait through the commercials. But that's not the kind of waiting that Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about active waiting, like parents wait for a baby to arrive. We know the baby's coming, and it's coming soon, but we don't know the day or the hour. We pick names and we tell our families. We paint rooms and we buy teeny tiny little socks and cute little bunnies. We show off the bulging belly and we begin to burst with pride. We notice every single little change and our life totally revolves around that experience. We're filled with excitement and anticipation for the new life. That's the kind of waiting Jesus calls us to do. Instead of never thinking about Christ coming, the Gospel of Mark calls us to think about Christ coming all the time, to actively wait. For it could be today or tomorrow. Christ could come at midnight or when the cock crows. But here's the rub. Christians aren't called to keep watch and wait for the end of the world. We're not told to wait for the end times. Apocalyptic texts are not a detailed prediction of the future. They're not, like some Christians thought, an invitation to withdraw from this world and just wait. Instead, the apocalyptic texts are a wake-up call. A wake-up call for us to be aware of God in the world, to long for the surprising ways in which God comes to us, and to expect to see God now. The word apocalypse comes from the Greek word which means uncovering or revealing. An apocalypse changes the world as we know it. Apocalypse is a word of possibilities. It's a word of new life. So maybe we're not supposed to read these texts as end of the world texts, but more as a wake-up call to pay closer attention to the world around us now. Maybe we're to pay attention to where God is in the world today. Do we watch and wait for God now? Watching and waiting doesn't just happen like weeds just happen to grow in our yard.
We're called to be intentional in our watching and our waiting. The writer of Isaiah today cries out for God to tear open the heavens and come crashing down, interrupting their world and making the mountains quake. What if we called on God to come crashing into our lives and into our world to give us a wake-up call? Do I look for and expect God in the dailiness of my life? In the dirty dishes and in the laundry? In my umpteenth trip to Home Depot and to Target? Do I expect to see God in the man who has sat across from me at the breakfast table and eaten Cheerios every single morning for almost 33 years? Or the woman who has lived next door to me for as long as I can remember? Do I expect to see God in the child who asks in that sweet little voice, "Why?" for the zillionth time? What if we called upon and expected God to come crashing into our worship service each week, making God's presence known and perhaps even shaking things up a bit? As God did for the Israelites, can't we expect God to be very present for us too? God doesn't tell us to live this life waiting and watching for the next life. Instead, God tells us to watch and wait today. But more importantly, to be busy today with active waiting, loving God, loving others as God has loved us. God is with us in this present moment, whether we're living a Hallmark Christmas card or whether our Hallmark Christmas card is a bit tarnished. And the apocalyptic texts give us hope that at the end of the day, whether we've been through a cosmic or personal apocalypse, God will prevail. God will uncover and reveal new life. God will be with us. So keep awake for our God to tear open the heavens and come crashing down into our lives. Keep awake for our God who has cast out demons, chased away money changers, brought justice to the oppressed, and tore the temple curtains to eliminate everything that separates us from God. Keep awake for our God who puts flawed disciples in charge of spreading the gospel. Keep awake for the God who is mysteriously hidden, yet truly present in the messiness of our lives. Keep awake for the God who gives us hope and new life. Keep awake. Amen. Thank you.